What's good, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to a whole new episode of the Cody Springer Show here in video. And today we're going to be talking about a multiple different subjects. We're going to be talking about Tom Brady and his retirement and why that may not be the case. You know, there's been some news to come out that may suggest that Tom Brady is not going into a career. We're also going to talk about Stars as Hot as Show, Power Book 2, Ghost, and we're going to be talking about some of the NFL head coaching hires as well. So without any further ado, let's get into this episode of the Cody Springer Show. What's good, ladies and gentlemen? Hope everyone's doing good. Hope everyone's staying healthy, and hope everyone's just, you know, doing well. As for me today, you know, I'm doing okay. You know, things could be better, things could be worse, but hey, you know, that's just how it is right now. And I like to let you guys know that if you missed the video debut of the Cody Springer Show, it was my interview with rapper Mac Montana. If you want to go back on into the channel and listen to the interview, you can do so on the official Cody Springer YouTube channel. If you haven't already, I would much appreciate it if you would subscribe to this channel, so that way you can stay up to date with all the content that is being put on this channel. And also, this podcast is available on anywhere you can get your podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, and many more. So today we are going to open things up by me giving people some advice. You know, I mean, all the time, you know, I get people who ask me, you know, like, what can I do to make a podcast, or to, you know, what do you do to make your podcast stand out, you know? But so I'm going to kind of give people advice on, you know, who want to make content and want to make great content. The key thing is, you know, especially if you want to make a podcast, you know, you find your niche. You know, what do you like to talk about? You know, is it sports? Is it entertainment? You know, do you like to talk about movies, TV shows? You know, kind of find your niche, you know. But if you have multiple different things you want to talk about, then that's cool too. You know, I talk about all kinds of different things on this podcast, as you guys know. So my advice is to find, you know, what you're passionate about. You know, what do you like to talk about? Find out what you want to talk about first. And then as far as to, you know, making great content, you got to be able to make your content stand out, you know. And, you know, going into this year, I wanted to take my podcast to video because, you know, I felt like it was time for me to do that, you know, because I've been doing this podcast for, you know, since 2018. So I've been doing this for about 4 years now. And, you know, the thought of my podcast going to video never really crossed my mind up until now. So I was like, man, you know, I mean, how can I take my podcast to the next level? So that's why I decided to go to video. You know, I felt like that was the next big step for my podcast. And, you know, and I'm hoping to grow the show from there. You know, I'm keeping the podcast on all, you know, podcasting platforms, but I'm also taking it a step further for video, you know, and I think that's going to be, and I think it's a real game changer because, you know, especially for my guest interviews. And as you guys seen with the Mac interview, you know, you got to see, you know, Mac in person, and then you also got to see me in person. And I think that's the coolest fucking thing about doing these video podcasts, because you get to see not only myself in person, but you also get to see special guests as well, you know, what they look like, you know, in their, you know, everyday normal life, you know? So yeah, I think it's more personal, you know, or yeah. And then I think, you know, definitely makes the podcast seem more like a, you know, a talk show, you know, like Jimmy Kimmel or, you know, those late night talk shows that some people watch. I don't, but you know, I mean, but yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, cause I look at like, you know, what Joe Rogan's done and what Pat McAfee's done with his show. And, you know, they have guests, you know, they have guests on their podcasts and shows, and it's been highly successful, you know? And yeah. And, you know, their podcasts are in video. And yeah, they're just killing it right now. And, you know, I just looked at their example that they set and I'm like, man, you know, I can do that shit too. So here we are. So my advice, you know, for people who want to succeed as a creator, you know, make your content stand out, you know, don't do what everybody else is doing, you know, bring your own flavor to the table. You know, don't do what everybody else is doing. You know, be yourself, be different, you know, be different, because if you just, you know, do the same thing that everybody else does, then people are just going to be like, oh, he's like so-and-so. You know, no, like when people tune into you, they know, they should know what they're getting, that they're getting something different. So yeah, that's what I'm striving to do, is to give something, give people something different. So yeah, that's my goal with the video podcasts. But yeah, so my advice is for people to, you know, to be themselves, make their content stand out, and talk about stuff that's passionate to them. All right, let's talk about professional wrestling. Last night was the 2022 Royal Rumble. And we had the return of Ronda Rousey. Yes, Ronda Rousey has been gone from WWE for about 3 years now. She left after losing at WrestleMania 35, I think it was. Yeah, WrestleMania 35 to Becky Lynch in that triple threat match. It was her. It was Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte. It was the first ever women's WrestleMania main event. And yeah, Ronda lost the Raw women's title to Becky Lynch, and then Ronda went away. She had a daughter about, yeah, she gave birth to her daughter 4 months ago. And yeah, Ronda, there was some controversy with her after she, you know, left the first time. You know, she, you know, kind of called out wrestling fans for, you know, being two-faced, and she kind of disrespected the business in the process. And you know, she just seemed like really bitter that the fans turned on her, you know, when she was there for her first run with WWE. And you know, because she came in and signed a 3-year contract, but she only did 1 year of that contract. And you know, she yeah, something with her back. Like, I talked about this a while back ago, but yeah, she broke I think it was a part of her vertebrae, and it was like broken in half or something like that, and it was causing her great pain. So that was one of the reasons why she left. And then, you know, she, I think she broke her hand as well in the WrestleMania match. So yeah, Ronda Rousey, you know, she went away. You know, she did some things outside of wrestling, had her daughter, and now she's back. And then she won the Women's Royal Rumble last night, and people are thinking that, you know, Ronda's going to be challenging Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. You know, that would be the most logical thing, but I've been hearing that actually she might be facing Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania this year, which, in my opinion, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then again, you know, this is a WWE, you know, things change all the time. You know, you think something's going to happen and then, you know, they do something completely different. So, yeah, but, you know, it was a great moment. You know, I think a lot of people, well, I mean, here's the thing. I hate when the dirt sheets get their hands on information and they just blast it out there to the public the way they do. Because that's the thing. In wrestling, it's so hard to keep things under wraps. It's hard to keep things a secret. And I've known about Ronda Rousey potentially returning for the whole week. Like, the news just came out, like, and I was like, you know, because here's the thing. I take news with a grain of salt. Until I hear concrete confirmation that something's happening, then I treat it as hearsay, rumors, you know. And but nowadays, people will hear something and think it's the truth when it's really not. So I knew about it for the whole week. And then she entered the match at number 27. So I was like, oh, okay, well, the rumors were true. You know, it was a great moment. And, you know, she won the whole match. So, I mean, you know, I mean, Vince McMahon's all about box office. You know, he's about, you know, he's all about wanting to get people who are box office attractions for the big events. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, hiring Ronda Rousey back makes sense. And then let's go to the Men's Rumble, which was won by Brock Lesnar, who came into the Royal Rumble as the WWE champion. He faced off against Bobby Lashley. And, well, Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar, and now he's realigned with Roman Reigns. We'll get into Roman Reigns here in a little bit. But, yeah, Brock Lesnar was betrayed by Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns attacked Brock Lesnar and cost him the WWE Championship match. And Bobby Lashley is once again your WWE champion. So, you know, what does Brock Lesnar do? He enters the Rumble later on in the show and wins. You know, he threw out Drew McIntyre at the end, and it looks like Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns will be our main event for WrestleMania 38. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not particularly surprised of how the Men's Rumble turned out, because I figured if Roman would lose, then he would have done the same thing, you know. And, you know, I got to say that, you know, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins had the best match of the night. There was just so much, like, just so much intensity in that match. And it was just so fucking great, you know. Like, that, they had you thinking that that match could have gone either way. And the story with the Shield, you know, and how it was getting to Roman Reigns. It was just, and then Seth coming out in the Shield gear and the Shield theme song. Like, it was just awesome shit, you know. And I really enjoyed it. And, you know, but I was disappointed with how the match ended. You know, Roman Reigns getting himself intentionally disqualified, you know, not refusing to break the submission, you know, when Rollins had his hand on the rope. So, yeah, I mean, it was disappointing how the match ended, but overall the match was just fucking fantastic. You know, it was a great match, just had a disappointing ending. But in my opinion, it was the best match of the night, for sure. So we are officially on the road to WrestleMania 38, and we'll see what happens from this point forward. All right, let's get into the quote of the week. And this is from the GOAT, the true GOAT of sports, Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time. MJ said, and I quote, "You must expect great things of yourself before you can do them." And that is absolutely true. It really is, man, because a lot of people in life, I know that people are really hard on themselves, and I've been there too. I've been really hard on myself, thinking that I ain't shit, ain't never gonna be shit, but I'm capable of doing great things, and this podcast, in my opinion, is proof of that. And I think I've shown how good I am at doing this. And and I expect that every time that I get behind this camera and get behind this microphone, I'm going to bring something special together. So yeah, man, I think you definitely have to expect great things of yourself before you can do it. And I think professional athletes, like Michael Jordan, when they step onto the field, they expected that they were going to make great things happen. And Michael Jordan was one of those people. Michael Jordan knew how great he was, and he expected greatness, So yeah, I mean, and I think Aaron Rodgers kind of touched on this point earlier in the NFL season. Every time I step on the field, I expect greatness. And people might trash me for bringing up Aaron Rodgers and stuff, like, oh, how can you talk about Aaron Rodgers? He's a piece of shit. Fuck him. He lied about getting vaccinated, said he was immunized. Dude, but if people are going to bring that shit up, then they are missing the whole point of this quote. They really are. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you walk into, let's just say you're a head of a company, let's say you're a CEO, and then you walk into a boardroom, and you're having a meeting, you're expecting great things to come out of that. You're expecting great things to come out of that meeting, when you sit down with yourself and your people. So yeah, I mean, before you can do great things, you have to expect great things of yourself. And I think that can apply to anybody, athletes, musicians, actors, actresses. Like, if you're great at something, then expect it of yourself and then do it. All right, let's change gears here and let's talk about the hottest show on Stars right now, and that is Power Book II, Ghost. Yes, I watched the season or season two, episode nine today. Spoiler warning ahead of time, for people who haven't watched, the newest episode. And if you haven't watched the newest or the show at all. So Power Book II, Ghost, we've seen a lot of crazy shit happen in this new season. We've found out that Zeke is actually Monet's son, and that Mecca Dante is Zeke's father. That was a big bombshell that we got earlier this season. Tariq, he's currently on trial for the murder of Ramirez and Jabari Reynolds. And then, we've seen, a lot of shit happen around Tariq. He was in the process of getting custody of his sister Yaz, and he succeeded. And just when he did, he got arrested for these murders. We just seen a lot of fucked up shit happen, in this season, but it's great shit. It really is. Like, there, all these secrets are coming to fruition. And yeah, man. And I'm telling you what, Dante, Mecca, motherfucker's been a force all season, man. Like, he, in my opinion, is on the level of a Milan, of a Lobos. Like, this dude is a bad motherfucker, man. He really is. And manipulative as well. You know, he's manipulating Monet, Kane, Lorenzo. You know, he's got a stranglehold on the whole Tejada family, you know, and it's all because of Monet. You know, he is in love with Monet. You know, he came back into her life, you know, and he found out the truth that he was, you know, Zeke's dad. And Mecca has been asserting himself into everybody's lives, you know. And, you know, we found out even more about Dante / Mecca in this newest episode. Found out that he's actually an informant. He's working for the feds. And, you know, a lot of people kind of speculated about this before the season. You know, is Dante working for the feds? And he was. And that he was actually working for Felipe Lobos. And then he was actually the one who sold Lobos out to the feds. And then, and he made this known to Tariq. And he's like, yeah, I know about you, Tariq. I know about your Uncle Tommy. I also know about your dad, Ghost. So yeah, so Dante knows who Ghost is, you know? So yeah, man, like this has just been some crazy shit, man. You know, all the secrets are coming out, you know, and I'm interested to see how it's going to end. You know, people's loyalties will be tested. You know, Tariq, you know, a lot of the people around him, you know, their loyalty is going to be tested. You know, Brayden, you know, what is Brayden going to do? Is Brayden going to save himself and his family, or is he going to save Tariq? You know, Brayden's had you know, made a lot of mistakes this season, and now he's got to make some hard decisions. And then Effie, you know, people have been questioning her loyalty to Tariq, you know, because, I mean, Effie's screwed over Tariq once before in the original Power. But, you know, is Effie really down for Tariq, you know, or is she going to end up screwing him over again? I don't know. We'll just have to see how it all pans out in the finale. And also, you know, will Mecca take out Lorenzo? You know, I mean, Mecca's pretty close to having everything he wants, you know, Monet, Zeke, and just having it all, you know. You know, start a new life, you know, with Monet and Zeke. But the question is, will Mecca be able to achieve that? You know, or is something going to happen that's going to get in the way of that? We just got to find out. I don't think they're going to do a break here for this season finale. Let's see, next week. Yeah, so yeah, next week they're going to finish off the finale of Ghost. There will not be a week break. And then we're going to lead into Power Book 4, Force. Yeah, so I'm going to give you guys a preview of Power Book 4, Force. That is the Tommy Egan spinoff. Joseph Sikora will be the star of this spinoff show. Because as you guys know, we have three spinoff shows right now. Power Book 2, Ghost. Power Book 3, Raising Kanan. And Power Book 4, Force. And then we have the Power Book 5 Influence Rashad Tate spinoff. I don't know when that's happening. There hasn't been really any news about that yet. But, you know, we have Power Book 4 Force that will be premiering after the finale of Ghost. So we'll be seeing the start of Tommy Egan's journey post-Power. The show begins after what happened at the end of Power Book 2 Ghost Season 1. You know, remember that scene with Tariq, Tommy, and Monet? You know, Tommy was trying to kill Tasha, and, you know, and Tariq was able to get her whisked away into witness protection. And then Monet basically got Tommy to back down. Yeah, it's going to be taking place after that. Because remember, after Power ended, You know, Tommy was going to go to California and start up his own organization. However, you know, Tommy had to come back to New York because, you know, he found out that Tasha had snitched on him to the feds and put Ghost's murder on him. So Tommy went back to New York to try to sell the score of Tasha, and he was unsuccessful, but he told Tariq, I'm never going to stop until she's 6 feet under. So yeah, man. But then, you know, we got Force, which takes place in Chicago. So I'm thinking that Tommy was on his way back to California when, you know, he made a pit stop in Chicago, and now Tommy's getting caught up in the world of the Chicago drug scene. And, you know, we have, you know, some characters coming in. We have Tommy Flanagan, who is playing Walter Flynn. He's the head of the Flynn crime family. So yeah, like, and he's been, yeah, and Tommy Flanagan, you guys might know him as Chibs in Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, he was Jax Teller's right-hand man in Sons of Anarchy. So yeah, I mean, you guys might remember him if you watch Sons of Anarchy. And then I don't know much about, you know, the other actors in the show. You know, Tommy Flanagan's the only actor I really know. Tommy is going to have some new love interests in this new series. As you guys know, if you watched the original Power, you know, he had Holly and Lakeisha. And well, if you saw Power, you know what happened to them, unfortunately. So yeah, I think Tommy is ultimately going to be trying to find his way as a, I think he's going to be in a position where, you know, he's going to be able to do things by himself, you know, especially since Ghost is out of the picture. He's going to be his own boss. He's going to do things by his rules, you know, and, you know, he's going to do what he wants. And it doesn't, he has no fucks to give anymore, you know, as the trailer, you know, has pointed out. So I think Force is going to be pretty action packed. I definitely think it's going to, you know, be a kind of a thrill ride, you know, for sure. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, shootouts and death and, you know, cause I mean, Tommy's earned a reputation in the Power universe for being the Grim Reaper of, you know, of the universe, you know, cause Tommy definitely, you know, has dropped a lot of bodies. So I think he's going to drop a lot more bodies as Force progresses. So yeah, man, I think it's going to be very interesting for sure. And I cannot wait to watch Power Book 4 Force on Stars. And yeah, man, I mean, and then we have Raising Kanan season 2 on the horizon. So yeah, man, it's definitely going to be quite interesting. Let's talk about some of NFL head coaching hires. You know, we had a lot of coaches get fired, as we usually do. So, but I'm going to talk about some of the new coaching hires from around the NFL and how I think they're going to fare in their new positions. So the Bears, they hired Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus. This is an interesting hire. You know, I kind of thought that maybe the Bears would hire an offensive coach, but you know, with Matt Nagy, you know, basically being a complete fucking failure, you know, the way he was in Chicago, you know, he was an offensive minded coach. But here's the thing, I kind of feel like Matt Nagy did not particularly care for Justin Fields. That's just my opinion. And I don't know if Matt Eberflus is going to commit to Justin Fields as the Bears' long-term starter. But, I mean, in my opinion, Fields is the best option they have. You know, I mean, Andy Dalton is clearly not the long-term answer at quarterback, you know. And then you have third-stringer Nick Foles, who probably should just retire at this point. So yeah, man. I mean, I think that Eberflus needs to pair a strong quarterback minded coach with Justin Fields. You know, work on his intangibles, work on his his mechanics, and develop him into a solid quarterback. Because I think Justin Fields definitely has the potential to be a great quarterback in the NFL. You know, he could be, on par with Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, but he needs a strong quarterback-minded offensive coordinator that's going to work with him and on his mechanics and his tangibles in order to get him to that point. So yeah, and the Bears definitely need to be stronger on defense. You know, I mean, they just cannot seem to, compete against, these top offenses in the NFL, there's a reason why the Packers are always on top of the division year after year, because they don't have strong enough defenses to go against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense. So I definitely think that, there needs to definitely be a shakeup as far as the defense goes in Chicago. But it's too early to say how successful that Matt Eberflus will be for the Bears. I mean, Eberflus has obviously, made the Colts defense into a strong unit. You've seen what they've been able to do. Darius Leonard has anchored that defense, and he's definitely made it one of the top units in the NFL. So yeah, I mean, if Eberflus can turn the Bears defense into a monster defense, then the Bears are definitely going to win some games for sure. And then the Giants, they moved on from Joe Judge, and they have hired Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. I think this is Brian Daboll's first head coaching job. He's been in consideration in the past, but now he's officially taken the job with the Giants. And I definitely think this is what the Giants needed to do, was to hire a strong offensive minded coach, because, Daniel Jones, man, Daniel Jones is struggling so bad. They've loaded that team up with so much talent, and somehow the Giants still have not been able to make it work. They spent so much money on Kenny Galladay. They drafted Kadarius Toney, and they still can't get it together. And then Saquon Barkley, he just hasn't been the same since he injured his knee. So yeah, I mean, Brian Daboll, we've seen what he's been able to do with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has become a top five elite NFL quarterback under Brian Daboll. But can he do the same thing with Josh Allen, or do the same thing with Daniel Jones? Sorry. Yeah, can he do the same thing with Jones? I'm not sure. I mean, Daniel Jones, I mean, I think he's got a similar skill set to Josh Allen. They both can scramble and make plays on their feet. Daniel Jones, he has to work on his mechanics. He has to avoid making stupid throws, I think if Daniel Jones can minimize his mistakes, get some better protection on his offensive line, then hell, he could become a great quarterback, make plays happen. But, it's going to be interesting to see what Brian Daboll can do with that offense and how he's going to retool things in New York. And then the Broncos, they've fired Vic Fangio, and they hired Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Yeah, Hackett was the offensive coordinator for the Packers, but I don't think he was calling the plays. I think Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur were the ones that were calling the plays for the offense in Green Bay. But you know, Hackett had a lot of input on the in the offense, and a lot of people are speculating that the Broncos made this move to potentially land Aaron Rodgers, you know, because a lot of people believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded in the offseason, you know, that Aaron Rodgers is going to request a trade from the Packers. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it could very well happen. You know, the Packers could trade Aaron Rodgers to the Denver Broncos, and the Broncos are going to have to give up a lot of draft capital for Rodgers. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, it'd be some familiarity. You know, Rodgers would probably run the same offense that he ran in Green Bay in Denver. But the question is, you know, I mean, is Rodgers going to be satisfied with his supporting cast? You know, because to be honest, I'm not really impressed with the receivers that Denver has. You know, I mean, yeah, you got Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton, and Jerry Jeudy, who are, who, in my opinion, they're not terrible receivers, but they're also not great, you know, or they haven't had the chance to become great. But a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers could make them great. But yeah, I definitely think that the quarterback position is going to have to be addressed. You know, are they going to stick with Teddy Bridgewater, or are they going to try to trade for someone like Aaron Rodgers? We'll just have to see. And then this one has recently hit the headlines, but the Patriots offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, is expected to become the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, the Raiders had a tumultuous season. You know, the John Gruden email scandal, and then they, you know, then, you know, they had their interim head coach take over, Rich Bisaccia. And I think he did, you know, a damn good job, you know, on short notice, you know, coming in and turning the team around into a playoff team. You know, I think Rich Bisaccia did a great job, but apparently he didn't do enough to, you know, to remain or become the permanent head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Josh McDaniels has head coaching experience. He was a head coach of the Denver Broncos from 2009 to 2010, but he wasn't that successful in Denver. Will be different this time around with the Raiders, you know, because McDaniels is going to have to make some decisions for sure, you know. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and his future of the 49ers. You know, could we see a possible reunion with McDaniels and Jimmy G in Las Vegas? If that's the case, then, you know, Derek Carr would be the odd man out, you know. And, you know, Derek Carr has stated that if, you know, if he ever left the Raiders, that he would retire, you know. But, yeah, you could say that. But, I mean, with the right amount of money and the right situation, you know, anybody can be convinced to stick around. So, I don't know. We're just going to have to see what happens with the Raiders. But the Raiders really need to have a alcohol rehabilitation program for a lot of their players, you know, because we've seen what happened with the Henry Ruggs situation, and a lot of their players getting busted for DUIs. Like, obviously there's something going on in Las Vegas where it's become a very disturbing pattern of players getting popped for DUI and having alcohol related issues. But that's a whole different podcast. All right, and we're going to finish with Tom Brady. You know, yesterday, it hit the headlines that Tom Brady retired from the NFL. But, however, that may not be the case. You know, people might have jumped the gun when it came to Tom Brady retiring because, you know, Tom Brady, it's been reported that he contacted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers himself and has stated that he has not made up his mind yet on whether or not he's going to retire. And then Tom Brady Sr., Tom's dad, you know, he told a news outlet, and I think San Francisco, that Brady has not retired, or he isn't retiring. So, you know, what's the story here? Is Brady done, or is he going to come back for another season? You know, if Brady does, then I think he's under contract to Tampa Bay for one more season. You know, because I think he signed a one-year extension last season. So if Brady comes back, then I think he's under contract to Tampa Bay for at least one more season. Here's the thing. As some of you may know, I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan. I quite frankly can't stand the guy, because I think he's cocky and he's arrogant and he's very selfish. However, I do recognize Tom Brady's impact on the NFL. You know, I do recognize his impact on the NFL, and you know, I do believe that he is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. I mean, you can't argue with his success. You know, 7 Super Bowl championships, multiple MVPs. You know, you can't argue with Tom Brady's impact on the game of football. A lot of people like to call him the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Me, I'm not necessarily ready to say that he is. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can say, well, Cody, he's got 7 fucking Super Bowls. So that doesn't mean to me that he is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. You know, and I said, and because here's the thing, like Brady's attitude, him being selfish, him being ego driven, is what, you know, counts against him. You know, his character comes into question. And hell, like Psycho Tom, as some people like to refer to it as, you know, when things don't go Tom's way, you know, if he doesn't get the right calls, then he flips the fuck out. Like the Saints, you know, when the Saints were giving him a hard time and they didn't score any touchdowns, you know, when Brady was intercepted, he went over to the Saints sideline and told the defensive coordinator to go fuck himself. And then when they lost to the Rams in the divisional playoff game a week ago, you know, the referee claims that Brady used abusive language towards him. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you can like Tom Brady, you can hate Tom Brady, but yeah, you cannot deny that he's one of the best to ever play the game. And if he is retiring, then good. You know, I think it's time. You know, I definitely think it's time for him to get the fuck up out of there and let somebody else have the spotlight, because he's definitely had too much of it. But that's just my opinion. You know, if you disagree with me or if you agree with me, let me know your comments down below, and we'll keep an eye on the Tom Brady story as it develops. All right, guys, that will conclude the podcast for today. Hope you enjoyed, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Peace.